From WBRI, 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sheridan Show.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough one today. Yeah, it's going to be a rough one. Hey, everybody, this is Martin Zender. Thank you very much. From the studios of WBRI in beautiful downtown. No, actually, we're 2 miles north of downtown Indianapolis. I am stranded today. I'm here at the studio by myself. My partner in crime, Dan Sheridan, is not here today. He had a Job-like series of trials. Beginning with a flooded basement this morning. He's getting ready to come in. He finds out his basement's flooded. Torrential downpours where his sump pump didn't work. That was just like the third thing in a string of trials the last 3 days. On Friday, he's driving to the dentist to get his swollen jaw fixed, and his car starts acting up. So his car was busted all weekend. It's not fixed yet this morning. Tried to get a rental car, gets the rental car, and the cigarette lighter thing, charger thingy, would not work, which he needs to keep in contact with his real job. So that's not all of the trouble. He still has his back spasms. I don't know. Pray for the guy. Get in a prayer circle. Dan Sheridan needs it. But we're going to persevere here. And I'm waiting on the mailbag. We're supposed to get mail today from the mailbag. And I'm expecting the mailbag. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Here's the mailbag. Here she is. What took you so long?
Your stupid mail.
Hey, that's a nice new walker you got there.
Here's your mail. I'm tired of bringing your mail.
Mailbag, why are you so upset?
I'm just having a bad day.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you're having a bad day. Did you hear what's happened to Sheridan?
I don't care about Sheridan or you. Your crazy doctrines.
Oh, you listen to us on the radio? You listen to us?
I listen to you every day.
You can't stand this.
No, I can't stand it.
Then why do you listen to us?
I don't know.
Well, don't think about it too hard. All right. Well, thanks for the mail anyway. Sorry about that, folks. That was the mailbag. She's in a particularly foul mood today. But I decided just to go through the mail so when Sheridan gets here, we can get to the big stuff. Hang on a second. I'm sorry to do this on the air. Sorry. Let me see here. I'll save that for him. Oh, here's something from a guy. This is a Maximus Proximo in Texas. I guess last week I admitted my ignorance of what a dangling participle was. And he says this, Martin, you asked what a dangling participle was. It's what you have if you don't have any spiritual Viagra. For those of you who don't get that joke, you can listen to our show a few weeks back on spiritual Viagra. Oh, this is nice. We have a listener in Bucharest, Romania, named Madeline. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I'm very happy that I finally discovered what the meaning of the word God, the phrase God is love. It's not simply a cliche that needs to be explained in the light of the so-called eternal torment theology, but only pure and complete love. God gave me all, and I became complete through him. Thank you for your great show. And for all the truths you reveal to this world each day, I wish you all the best from Bucharest, Romania. God bless you, Madeline. Thank you very much, Madeline. You mind if I... This is triggering me here. I'm very happy to discover that what God really means when he says God is love, not simply a cliche that needs to be explained in the light of so-called eternal torment. That is a strange thing, Madeline, about the eternal torment doctrine. It's explained in the light of God is love. And this is one of the eternal mysteries of the Christian religion. Well, God is love, but somehow his love includes eternal torment. Nobody really knows how that is. I wrote about this, and naturally I have stocked here on the shelves copies of my book. And this particular book that I'm reaching for now is called How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. And I do get into this topic in this chapter called Is Christianity a Cult? Now, I know that if the mailbag is hearing this outside in the studio, she is going to be very upset and probably going to race back in her walker. But hopefully that doesn't happen. But In chapter 6 of my book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, I asked the question, does Christianity fit its own definition of a cult? And in fact, it does. You may have heard me discuss this before in an earlier show with Dan, but I'm reminded of a particular point here. Madeline brings it up, and Madeline from Bucharest, Romania. How can a loving God be spoken of in light of the doctrine of eternal torment? There's a couple ways it happens. These are cult-like mechanisms that could cause your mind to somehow say, well, I guess maybe I can find room for eternal torment in the halls of a loving God. This is point 17 in a book about cults written by, who wrote this book on cults? I haven't looked at this book for a while. I know it's my own book. Bob Larson, new book on cults, and he listed 19 points of a cult. Now, here's Bob Larson, who's an expert on cults. He's also a big shot in the Christian religion, and he's setting himself up as the mother of all cult detectors. He's going to tell us where the cults are and who are the cults. And as immediately as he sets himself up as the mother of all cult detectors, he keeps you from looking at him as a possible cult. I'm the expert on cults, just like the Jews of our Lord's day, saying that we're the experts on Messiah, we'll tell you when he arrives. And of course, they missed him when he came. Likewise, Bob Larson of the Christian religion has claimed to be the authority on the cults. I'll tell you when the cult comes to town. Well, his own religion is a cult. Point 17, sensory deprivation. This is point 17. There's 19 points in Bob Larson's book, and I list all these in my book. Listen to this. Fatigue coupled with prolonged activity can make one vulnerable to otherwise offensive beliefs and suggestions. You get that? Fatigue coupled with prolonged activity. There is so much activity in churches today that your mind is often kept from pondering these very, very serious questions like, who is God? What is he doing? Where is he going? What's going to happen to my dead mother who died not believing in Christ? In order to keep you from thinking about these things, they'll shove a donut in your mouth or they'll strike up the choir and to try to dissuade you and keep you very busy. There's many, many activities, nonstop activities in the Christian religion. And this is a mark of a cult. And I asked the question, does Christianity fit this bill? Fatigue coupled with prolonged activity that can make one vulnerable to otherwise offensive beliefs. Eternal torment is the most offensive belief ever. Ever. That God is worse than Adolf Hitler, that God not only kills people who don't love him, mind you, he loves you unconditionally. How often do we hear of the unconditional love of God? Well, there's only one little nagging condition, and that is you have to love him back. And if you don't, he is going to hate you with a perfect hate. It's a perfect hatred. That's what I've heard. He will hate you with a perfect hatred of God. And this is somehow, and when you ask, the people who believe this kind of thing, well, how does this line up with the love of God? Well, God is just also. He's judging. But he's love, isn't he? Isn't that his overriding characteristic, love? We know he's a just God, but didn't he satisfy his justice at the cross? Well, strike up the choir. I don't know about that. No, they can't answer these questions. Now, earlier in this book, I've looked at many, many stupid church activities. Did I call them stupid? I meant to call them dumb. Sorry. Dumb church activities that numb people's minds and literally shifts their minds into neutral so that they refuse to think of these things that they would have thought of in the outside world. When this mind shift takes place, the mind can now say, it's now able to receive what was previously unreceivable, such as eternal torment. Nobody can imagine their earthly parent tormenting their child for eternity. And when you think that God could be that way, the normal human mind says, no, that can't be. But when you get into the Christian religion, your mind undergoes a change, a very disturbing change that now you shift This is the mark of a cult. You shift into now being able to receive what was unreceivable. And eternal torment, this is otherwise, there's another name for this. By the way, that name's brainwashing. Eternal torment is the unreceivable. And that so many Christians have received it is proof that they are all brainwashed. And they just casually accept it as the fate of most of humanity. And I contend to you today, in the absence of Dan Sheridan, that that is proof of an altered mind. And they'll even tell you, these Christians, that endless torture is a fitting end to God's great plan of salvation. They admit that God has a great plan. And this is the end that most of humanity is going to be tormented in spite. Now, I could almost entertain the idea if Christ hadn't come. But this, in spite of the fact that Christ came to take away the sin of the world. The doctrine of eternal torment, as you know, if you've listened to the show, it's not even scriptural. There's mistranslations in the King James versions and others. The mainstream versions, the NIV, which is, I call the new inconsistent version, the NASB, they're mistranslating a critical word, ion, which means eon, a period of time. They're making it eternal, and that's a criminal act of translating. Dan and I have talked about that before. That's point 17. Look at point 18. No, is that what I want? No, I want point 19. Value rejection. As the recruit, this is Bob Larson talking, as the recruit to the cult becomes more integrated into the cult, he is encouraged to denounce the values and beliefs of his former life. Does Christianity fit this bill? Does it ever? Before becoming Christians, people, like I said, hear about eternal torment, and they're horrified by it. It repulses them because no earthly parent would be that horrible, and they can't believe that God would do something that not even the worst parent would do. And this shows good values on the person's part. But when they become Christians, these same people now get brainwashed into thinking the eternal torment, yeah, I guess it does sort of illustrate God's perfect love. You see, it's perfect eternal torment. He does it in his love. He has no choice. He's really ultimately loving them by tormenting them in hell for eternity. Now, when a non-initiated cult person comes in other words, somebody that can still think, somebody that's not indoctrinated into the Christian religion, when they come along and say, how can eternal torment possibly illustrate the love of God? The cult person, i.e. the Christian, says, well, God's love is not like our love, you see. It's a different kind of love. It's worse? It's worse than our love? Is that what you're telling me? And so the pre-Christian's concept of love, the person who's not yet in the Christian religion slash cult, now his concept of love, his or her concept of love changes radically upon being Christianized. Isn't that a strange thing? Christ, right? The one that came to save, the Savior of the world. When someone's mind has been Christianized, now they're able to entertain this idea. For some reason, their value system has been traded for this new set of values, which somehow can include eternal, that somehow makes love can be the umbrella under which eternal torment operates. Is this a sound mind? Is it evidence of a sound mind? When the mind can be so altered, what kind of evil influence comes over people to make them throw out the very concepts of love that God instilled in them, in their families? You know why God gave us families? He gave us families as a picture of His love. That's right, folks. It's a picture of His love. And that is a right idea of love. God is greater than our human parents. And He is sure not going to have a worse brand of love than the love we've known in our families. Whew, this has been tough without Sheridan. He is going to be back tomorrow, come hell or high water. Well, maybe not high water. And I'll be with you, too. In the meantime, have a great day.